You know, you have a sense of the Spirit of God in the house. And I hear, you know, the hearts of people. And, you know, you hear what's in their hearts. And what we want to cover off, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the renewing of your mind, right? And what that means and what that entails and how you go about doing that. And what we're on today is strongholds, which the Word of God speaks about. But before I go, I just want to say is that if it's your first time in the house, you're very, very welcome. And if you've been in this house 100 times or 100 times, you're very, very welcome. Because you make liberty work. We can't make this work without you. You are the workers in the harvest field. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now, God is the God of the future. Amen? We all agree on that? He's the God of yesterday. He's the God of the now. And that's where we can look for the God of tomorrow. We can look for the God of next year. We can talk about God yesterday. But God is in the now. God is here now. God is in this moment. And the Spirit of God is going to work here. He's going to minister here. Why? Because God's love is ever active. You're His people. And every day, God blesses His people. There's not a day that the blessings of God are not released. New every morning. So we're in the now of God. Amen?
Amen.
We're in the place where God's going to speak to us, where God's going to touch our hearts. And what I would say to you is, open your heart up to Him. Because God can speak, but you can keep your heart closed. Or He can speak and you cannot answer Him. Because He never forces us. He doesn't force us. So what I would say to you is, keep your heart open. Let the Spirit of God speak to you because He wants to. Amen? So let's move on. Have you put that up, Malachi? Strongholds. Now, what are strongholds? And what the... there can be good strongholds, but what the Bible talks about in this, what we're going to cover, is strongholds of liars. And what a stronghold is in the context I'm talking about is where you have believed a lie that you have believed is the truth about yourself or about God. Amen? And what that does is it forms what the Bible talks about, a stronghold in your mind. And so, when we believe that into a stronghold of mind, it affects us. It affects how we think. It affects how we act. And it affects how we walk. It affects our peace. It affects everything. And so, and what it also does is that the stronghold in your mind is constantly attacking the truth of the gospel. It's constantly resisting the truth of the gospel. It's constantly trying to stop the truth of what God is saying into your life from getting into your heart or into your mind. So a stronghold is something that has a stronghold upon you. And it's a spiritual stronghold. And some strongholds can be tremendously, tremendously strong. And we need supernatural weapons to be able to demolish them strongholds. Amen? And what we say, you can have strongholds of fear, strongholds of self-pity, which is a prison we can get caught in. Believe you me, it's a prison that robs you. We can have strongholds of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness blocks the grace of God. It blocks the healing power of God of coming in and healing that situation that has birthed that unforgiveness in your heart. Right? Because unforgiveness is a robber. It robs us of the healing power of God. It robs us of the grace of God. And it's a stronghold that resists God's power. It resists God's healing power. Amen? We can have strongholds of sexual bondage. And they can be powerful strongholds. And they can really have a hold of your mind and control you and bring you into areas that is not good for you, that rob you, to bring you into shame, into condemnation. And they are also powerful, powerful strongholds. And in and of ourselves, we cannot break these strongholds. We cannot overcome them. And we all know that. They're too strong. They're powerful. They're a spiritual power. There's a hold of us and they're strong. Now, a lot of strongholds were birthed in our past, from our past experiences, from the environment, from what was said over us. But we can also birth strongholds, or they can be birthed in our mind after we come to Christ. And how does that happen? When we accept truths about God. When we accept that God is a hard God. God is an unloving God. That God doesn't care about you today. That God is a million miles away. That God can't be really trusted. They're all strongholds that attack the truth of God and attack the effect of the truth of God in our lives. And we have to take a stand against these things. And what the Bible says in, I think the verse is up there, 2 Corinthians verses 10, 3 to 5. For it says, though we live in the world, and the world the Bible talks about, we are not of the world. Always remember that we are of the kingdom of God if we are in Jesus Christ. We have been transported from the world of darkness into God's kingdom, which is the kingdom of light. Right? So when the Bible talks about the world, Jesus, when he was returning, says, Father, as I was not of the world, as they are not of the world. We are not of the world. We are of God's kingdom. So, but we live in the world that is hostile to us, that is in darkness, and that there's a war going on in that world all the time against God's people, against God's will and so forth, but we are on the victorious side. Amen. But it says that though we live in the world, and we do not wage war as the world does. Now, how do we wage war in the world? We wage war in the world by killing each other. We wage war in the world by, you see, families torn apart, bitterness, anger, rage. You see, families being split apart over money, wills, and so forth. You see, neighbors, you see it all around you. Weapons of destruction, because that's the devil's weapons. They rob, they kill, and they destroy, right? They're the weapons of the world. But the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, how we stop strongholds from being reestablished in our mind as Christians is we take every thought captive and make it obedient to the truth. Because Jesus says, I am the truth, and in the truth you shall know freedom. Amen. You will know freedom. And so, but then it says, the weapons we fight. So what the Apostle Paul is saying here, there's a fight. There's a fight on. There's a fight on for the truth of God in your mind. There's a fight on for the truth of how you see yourself, how you perceive yourself. And a lot of us, we're conditioned in our thinking, the strongholds from our past. And that past constantly brings in condemnation. Constantly brings in shame. Constantly brings her in, right? And we've got to take a stand against that. Because the truth is that God remembers our sins no more. Yes. Now, if God remembers our sins, what does that mean? It means he remembers our sins no more. He does not remember our sins. We are new creations in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so if you have a stronghold in your life, that means that you believed a lie as the truth. And that reflects your reality of how you see things, of how you see yourself, of how you see God, of how you see other people. Your reality is flawed. Your thinking is flawed because you believe the lie and as the truth. And it affects your whole thinking, your whole reality of how you operate out of that. So you could say one of the things you may feel rejection. And rejection is one of the powerful weapons that the enemy has. The effects of it is incredible. You speak to people, you minister to people who have those wounds, and the whole reality, they're afraid of people. They find it hard, you know, to accept that God loves them. They find it hard even to accept themselves. Right? And it's a mighty weapon that the enemy has. And what it does is you can walk into a room. Right? And I have ministered to people over many, many years. And you see this stuff all the time. And you can be in this room, right? And everything is okay in this atmosphere. But you could walk in and someone who you know doesn't catch your eye, you think, well, you know, they've ignored me. Now, the effect of that immediately is you either get angry, you know, you lose your peace. You know, and I've talked with people, they come into the church at times and they feel that all the church is against them. And they're sitting there, they're uncomfortable, and they want to leave. Now, their reality is wrong. They've accepted a lie because that is not the truth. But that lie that they have accepted is affecting the whole, you know, emotional state. It's robbing them of their peace. It's robbing them of friendships with other people. They're sitting there and they want to get out of the crowd. And the effect of it at times is powerful. I mean, you see it working in people's lives. And it takes time because what you have to do, the first thing you have to recognize is you have to recognize the lie for what it is. And believe you me, it can take time getting people even to dare. But once they see that how they're thinking is not correct, that they're thinking in a flawed way, and that you need to move off that ground, and you need to start thinking in a right way. Amen? Now, you also may feel helpless to change. And a lot of people are in that boat, especially when they come to the Lord at first. I can't change. It's no good. I've tried. I've done this. I keep on falling. When you keep thinking that way, you're reinforcing the lie. You're reinforcing that lie. You're speaking over yourself. You're speaking to yourself. Defeat. You're speaking to yourself. You're just robbing yourself. Because the truth is, God doesn't ask you to change in and of your own strength. God is at work within us, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. The Spirit of God is in us, right? So it is possible to change. Why? Because God brings the change in. And it's the power of God that changes you. And what you have to do is agree with that. And I remember when I was a Christian, I was a couple of years a Christian, and I came out of a fairly heavy background, a fairly bad background. And I had a low self-opinion of myself and put myself down. And I used to feel that the way, you know, to go into the presence of God was to put myself down. Father, I am nothing. Father, I thank you for your mercy. Father, I'm this. Father, I'm that. Father, I'm a scumbag. All this type of language. And the Holy Spirit pulled me up one day and told me, do not do that. Do not do that, because that's not what you are. Amen. And the change that was brought into my thinking was not through myself, because I would have still been there. The Holy Spirit brought the change in. And what the Holy Spirit showed me, and from that time on, things changed. The Holy Spirit showed me, in that instant, and it can happen all that instant, you're a son of God, you're loved of God, you're blessed of God, you're honored by God. And my whole attitude changed. I never, ever prayed that way again. When I went into the presence of God, I went in as a son of God, cleansed by the blood, made anew in Christ. And I had to get, that was truth that entered my mind, entered my spirit, and changed my thinking. Amen. Some of the stuff that I'm going to say here is fairly heavy, if you know, depending on where you're coming from. But if you were abused, and I don't mean that in a sexual way, we've been all abused in the world. We can be, you know, abused by words that were spoken over us. We could have been hit in school. When I was in school, that's what happened. You got hit every day. And all sorts of stuff in the world. And we can be abused, right? Some people have a huge impact upon us. Parents, people that are very, very close. And they can wound us with the words that they say to us or that they speak over us. But if you see yourself as a victim, helpless, never able to stand up for yourself and take hold of truth, and in your life that you've been put down, your confidence was broken, you know, your spirit was wounded, your heart was wounded. All that at that time may be true, but you're not a victim now. You're not a victim now. You're in a different place because you've been born anew of the Spirit of God. Amen. And you can, you know, go back to those events with the Spirit of God. And you're not going back as a victim. You're going back with Him for healing. Amen. You're going back with Him for healing. And we can choose to remain a victim, or we can choose to believe the truth. And the truth is, in Jesus Christ, you are made anew. You are set free, you are healed, and you're no longer a victim. And what God does, God doesn't change the past. The past cannot be changed. But He sets us free from the effects of the past where it's been bad. Amen? He sets us free from that. Now, I want to then just move on very quickly, is that we have to have control of our minds, right? We have to learn how to control our minds, what comes into our minds, what we allow to land in our minds and what we don't allow, you know, to land in our minds. And my experience of Christians is that they're sitting under the oppression of the enemy a huge amount of time, more than, you know, they should be. And sometimes they don't even recognize it. I feel depressed today. I don't feel God is here. I feel just rotten. I feel I don't believe in myself. I mean, all this stuff. And what's happening is that the enemy is oppressing us and we're not recognizing it. We really aren't recognizing it. And what we've got to do is, when the enemy's coming in with these oppressive thoughts that are contrary to the truth, the Word of God says is we've got to take them captive. And to what? Take them captive to the truth. Bring them into the truth. So the way I was looking up a book, and as I go on, what it says is, if you think of your mind like an airport, right? And you're the air traffic controller. And you decide what is going to land on any given day and what isn't going to land. Amen? So when thoughts are coming into your mind, and they come every day, there's a battle for our faith every day. Every day. And it's not a wearing out battle. It's not something that you get worn out with. You take control of it. I'm not saying this in any puffed up way. This is the truth. We are seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. So we need to get ourselves above the circumstances. Not underneath them. Because when we're underneath them, we get oppressed by them. We're praying and we get worn out. We've got to get up into the heavenlies with Christ. And pray from that position down. Amen. So if you're an air traffic controller of your mind, use what thoughts are going to land. You decide. And if they're contrary to the truth, you tell them there's no landing space for you here today. Amen. Amen. Off you go. Now, that's what the Bible says about taking captive every thought into Christ. You make that thought obedient to the truth. You do not allow it to overcome the truth in your mind, but you make it come under the truth. And when it comes under the truth, it's defeated. It's no landing place. It has to go. Amen. Now, this requires effort, right? And constant commitment to the truth every day. But believe you me, when you do that, you practice that, you know, the devil finds it harder and harder. Harder and harder. Harder and harder. Because the truth, the strongholds of the truth have been established in your mind. The strongholds now, not his strongholds, but God's strongholds. Amen. Are getting into your mind, they've been established in your mind. And I'm telling you, your life changes. Peace comes into your life. It's not easy, Rob. It doesn't say it's never robbed, but it's not easy robbed. And what the devil does is he finds it harder and harder because he's no landing place in your mind. You're not accepting his lies. Now, when Paul is talking about this, right, and Paul makes a clear distinction is drawn between existence in the world and worldly conduct and techniques, which means we don't use the weapons of the world, right? Yet he affirms that spiritual warfare demands spiritual weapons. A successful campaign can be waged in the spiritual realm only as worldly weapons are abandoned. That is, we cannot win these battles in our own strength. We cannot win these battles by just sheer willpower. Believe you me, you will fail. You win these battles by taking all the resources that heaven has given us, taking them and using them. Because they're spiritual weapons, they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. And when we learn to use these weapons that God has given us, we are victorious in Christ. We're never not victorious in Christ. Now, so we need then to totally depend upon the Holy Spirit for our walk with the Lord. Every day. And you know what? His ministry to us, his ministry, the reason why he was sent from heaven, his ministry to us is to bring us into truth, is to protect us, is to encourage us, is to counsel us. He's there. He's a divine counselor. And if you build up a relationship with the Spirit of God, believe you, he helps you every day. There's not one day goes by that he doesn't. There's not one day. You've got to look to the Holy Spirit, depend upon the Holy Spirit. Because when you don't do that, then what happens is that you fall and you fail. Now, it says then, what are the weapons that we have? One of the weapons we have, and it's called the sword of the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, if you have a sword, and this is up to you and me, that sword can become blunt and not sharp because we're failing to exercise what we need to do to keep the sword sharp, right? We're failing to do that. And so we're easy targets for him. When the enemy comes, we have a blunt sword against him. It's blunt. It's not cutting through his lies. It's not cutting right in, getting right into our soul and marrow, amen? And the word of God is active and alive. And that's the sword of the Spirit. When we allow the word of God to become active and alive, we accept it as the truth. We speak it over us. Stop speaking negativity over your life. Don't say, I hope God is there. I hope. You're not prophesying. You're speaking lies. You're speaking defeat. Always speak the word of God. And even if you feel a million miles away from the reality of it, still do it. Because believe you me, every time you do it, you get nearer and nearer to the reality and the power of it. But you've got to learn how to control your tongue, how to speak God's word over your life constantly. I do that all the time. I refuse to speak over my life defeat, even when I feel I'm under pressure, even when I feel, and I can notice this oppression, and sometimes it can be lasting, but I refuse to give in to it. I stand on the truth of God, and I declare who I am in Christ. I declare that Christ is my Redeemer, and I get above that oppression, and I get above it, and I take authority over it in Christ. And you know what? That's for us all. Amen? That's for us all. So if you look at the Word of God, it's living and active. Now, God is loving, and God loves us. But sometimes we find that difficult at times, the reality of it. Right? So we can say that the Bible says God loves me. Right? But at times we have a battle of actually bringing ourselves into the reality of that, of trusting in that. Amen? And what we've got to do is, we've got to get into God's Word. And what I do is, I speak God's Word over me. The power of over me. And if I feel, you know, that God, if in my thinking I'm starting to doubt in any way, I get into the Word of God. And 1 John verse 6 says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And John emphasizes that. He says, and that is what we are. Now the reality of that is what we are. We're children of God. And you've got to get your mind and bring it captive into that truth and bring it underneath the power of that truth. Or otherwise, you know, you've landed in a place that the enemy can come and land in, right? You've got to take captive this oppression if it's over your life. You've got to take captive these thoughts. And you've got to even, this is what we call about the struggle, the war. You've got to take it and bring it and bring it under the Lordship of Christ and bring it under the truth of God and defeat it in God. That's what we have to do. It's a struggle, it's a battle. Now, I want to talk then, and it's getting near the time then, so I'm going to wrap up in a while, is that if you've strongholds of the past, if you have a low self-opinion of yourself, if you feel change can come, if you feel that God is out of your life for whatever reason, if you feel that God cannot heal you, if you feel all these things, this can't happen, I can't believe God, that's a lie. It's as simple as that. I can't put it any other way. It's a lie. It's not the truth. And if you feel that these strongholds are too powerful, I'll never overcome them. Some of these strongholds have come from the past, are so strong we nearly think that they are us. We nearly feel they're part of our makeup, a part of who we are as human beings, right? And they're not. They're not. Because they're robbers. Every time you identify them, they're robbers. They're robbers of peace. They're robbers of self-esteem. They're robbers. And if they're robbers, they're not you, right? And God wants to demolish those strongholds. Now, that word, demolish, means that the power of God, the Spirit of God, wants to come in. And with the sword of the Spirit, cut through every stronghold, every lie that has wrapped itself around you. Cut right through it and bring the truth of God. Bring the light of God into your mind, into your soul, and into your spirit. And God wants to bring change. God wants to set us free. What did Jesus come for? To set us free. What did he set us free for? So that we could love God, God can love us, and we could walk in freedom. Not condemnation, not shame, but in freedom. Robes of righteousness, robes of holiness. Amen? So what I would say to you, I'm going to wrap up in this, and what I would say with strongholds, that we have weapons that are mighty for the demolition of these strongholds. Demolishing, destroying them, wiping them out completely. And where you will be, and believe you me, just over the last few weeks, God has been putting a deeper understanding into my mind. I constantly look to God for deeper, deeper understanding. And we've attention at times. And the tension is that the Word of God declares before God, before heaven, that we are sons of God, holy and righteous before God. And sometimes we're in this place of tremendous tension because we see our lives and we look at our lives and we think, I'm not holy, I'm not righteous, right? It's a huge error, because what you're doing is you're looking at yourself. You're looking at your own efforts. You're looking at your own weaknesses. You're looking at your own shame or whatever. God looks at the activity of the blood in your life, right? God looks at the activity, and what the blood does is constantly, and this is a tremendous truth if you get a hold of it, it brings you into a tremendous place of peace. You are never not holy in Christ. You are never not righteous. Now, sometimes our mind is struggling with that. But why? Why is the question? And the Word of God has the answer for us. And the answer is the blood is eternal. It's the eternal blood of the Lamb. And that word eternal, we take it down that it's something that goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. But biblically, when we understand what the eternal blood of the Lamb is, the blessings of it, you understand that it's absolutely incredible. Because what it means is no day, no moment of the day is the blood not active before the throne of the Father on your behalf. And so it's the blood that keeps declaring over you that you are holy and right. It's the blood that maintains that holiness, not our self-effort. They're feeble. We get it wrong. I mean, if I was dependent on my own efforts to get it right or do things right, believe you me, I'd be sitting there under a million tons of condemnation. Right? Feeling pity for myself and all this type of stuff. The thing is, the blood maintains my holiness. The blood maintains my righteousness, not me. I cooperate with the blood. I cooperate with the Spirit. I cooperate with the Word of God. I get myself under the ground of truth, and I stand on that ground of truth. I stand on the peace of that ground of truth. Amen. Amen.